It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Oh, indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And be sure and go over to Facebook. All kinds of great information there. We'd appreciate it if you'd give us a like on that. And when you go to the website, if you will click on each of these pictures or each of these pieces, each show will bring up the recap as well as the podcast, so you can listen to that again. And, of course, this show is rebroadcast every evening from 10 to 11 p.m. It is a Monday. Steve, it's Monday. You're here. Did you have a good weekend?
A great weekend. I just wish you wouldn't bring up the fact that it's Monday.
We have to get to it. And every day you're walking through it, you're going to get to Friday. So,
all right.
Wishing you a wonderful day. We've got an important show planned for you today. We'll be talking with Colorado Representative Mark Baisley. And he did something very important, and you can see it now in the coronavirus, Wuhan virus numbers. And that is it looks like the health departments have been, they've been cooking the books on the numbers. And he brought that forward, and once he did, the numbers went down. So that'll be a very important conversation. Second segment, we'll be talking with Steve Ryder. And his wife has been in the hospital for over 17 days. She is there alone. They both are testing negative on COVID-19, and yet he cannot see her. And this is just a tragedy that's going on in America right now. So we'll chat with him. And then a former Assistant Secretary of the Interior for Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, Lyle Laverty, will join us to talk about his important op-ed that is on my website, KimMunson.com. About our healthy forest. About 24 years ago today when the Buffalo Creek fire started, which was very devastating. Two people lost their lives. And it doesn't have to be that way. And so we'll be chatting with him about that. A couple of other things. As you may know, it is now signature gathering time for this due date too late. And so go to that website, due date too late, and you can find out all the different places where you can go sign the petition to put the question on the ballot this November if, in fact, we will basically say you can no longer abort babies right up to the due date, way too late to make that happen. And then also go to my website. We're doing this Freedom Fi fundraising for Jen Hewlin. You know, she was the very first, I think she was the very first business to open up. She thought everybody else was going to follow her. Surprise! She looked around and there are very few people, I should say, were behind her. And so we're raising money for her operating costs as well as legal costs. So go to my website. You can click on there. You always wonder what you can do? Well, make sure that you help out with this due date too late as well as get a few bucks over to Jen Hewlin. I'm going to shorten things up, Steve, just because I want to have this conversation with Representative Mark Baisley. Although, it's a good quote. I need to make sure that we do this. This was Eli Weiss. I should have checked the pronunciation. I look at his name all the time. You know him. It was Eli Weisel. He was a Romanian-born American writer, professor, political activist, Nobel laureate, and Holocaust survivor. He authored 57 books, written mostly in French and English, including... I don't have the whole title there, but it was based on his experiences as a Jewish prisoner in Auschwitz and Buchenwald concentration camps. He died in 2016 at the age of 87. He said, "The opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. The opposite of art is not ugliness, it's indifference. The opposite of faith is not heresy, it's indifference. And the opposite of life is not death, it's indifference." Steve, that's a pretty amazing coming from a Holocaust survivor.
I looked at that earlier this morning, and I thought that is really kind of cool because everyone works in opposites as they want that total contrast, the opposite of light is dark type of thing. But indifference, it's a poison, and it's everywhere.
Yeah, but, you know, people are waking up. And as we get into this conversation with Colorado Representative Mark Baisley, he took Rudyard Kipling's words. He said, "I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who." So with that, Colorado Representative Mark Baisley, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. It's a pleasure to be on my favorite show. And congratulations for your big award from Independence Institute here recently. Well deserved.
Oh, you know what? We have not really announced that on the show yet. Thank you so much. I am so honored to get this Vern Bickel Award. Yeah, so thank you. Thank you. Sure. Something amazing happened. You came across a letter from a senior center right here in the metro area that it looked like that the numbers were being changed regarding the death numbers on the COVID-19 Wuhan virus death numbers here in Colorado. So what happened? Tell us what happened.
Sure. Well, we were all kind of knowing this, right? Just as a people, it just became one of those social jokes that if you fall out of a plane and land on the rocks, you died of COVID-19, you know, all those jokes that were running around. But when a constituent brought that letter to me, it was because, and it's a Highlands Ranch constituent who has a parent in at Summer and Glen, that the nursing home, hospice care there. That's when I was realizing the impact of lying on about the numbers, about not being truthful about what the numbers were. So this letter is from this nursing home hospice care facility. And by the way, I'm very familiar with it because my wife's father, World War II veteran, he spent his last days on earth there at his request. It's the kind of place, a Christian ministry business, where people can live there when they need care, but especially in their final days. And they're wonderful about escorting them off into eternity and to keep them comfortable with medications and so on. So they have, just as course of business, they have a lot of deaths there because that's what they do. They bring people in who are about to die. And so they put out a letter to the families of the people they're caring for saying, hey, the state is overturning the cause of death that has been determined by physicians and funeral directors and turning them all into COVID-19 deaths. We just want our families to know we're not riddled with COVID-19 around here. I'm so sorry. Anyway, that struck me as, my goodness, look at that. The state is doing yet another thing that is imposing on business, and it's affecting reputations of healthcare workers, of business. And think of the very intimate imposition on people who have just lost a loved one. And the state comes in to something that could not be more tragic or moving for them and says, oh, and we're going to tweak the numbers here. You're going to become part of our stats, regardless of the truth. So there, couple that with what we all heard about on Montezuma County in the southwest corner of the state. And I got a call from Mark Catlin, my fellow state representative who covers that neck of the woods there. And he said, hey, not only does it affect families and reputations and businesses, but it says we've had just two COVID-19 deaths out here in Montezuma County. And now a person who was tested positive for COVID-19, but he drank himself to death. He had 0.55 alcohol level in his blood, which is almost double the lethal amount. So he absolutely died of alcohol poisoning. The coroner himself determined that cause of death, and the state overrode it. Now, okay, except that what that did was it increased by 50% the number of COVID-19 deaths for Montezuma County, and that was the basis for denying that county's variance from all the shutdown orders. So this is affecting lives, affecting people, and it's not true. So that's the background.
Well, Mark, there's really two things going on here. And first of all, there is, I was talking with some people this weekend about it, and they said, well, it's because, you know, cooking the books on these numbers is there's money in COVID deaths, which is tragic. You know, it's tragic to say that there's death and that there's people trying to make money on it. But the other thing that you just mentioned is the fact that then this gives these public health officials, the governor, cover to keep us shut down. And so those are the two things that are going on. I actually also have in my hands the letter from this very, very fine senior care facility here in the metro area. And I've been there as well. In fact, they have a couple of World War II veterans that I interviewed for my World War II show. So I know that the letter is authentic. And so the headlines are not quite correct, Mark Baisley. They say that they've been cooking the books by about 25%. And if you look at the whatever it was, like the almost 1,100 death number, certainly that was 25% of that number. But if you take the real number, you know, and I say that with air quotes, of, let's see, Patty, pull that. Let me just get what that is. The current real number in Colorado now is, I had it right here, is 878.
Yeah,
so if you take
there for days,
yeah, if you take that number, oh really? If you interesting. If you take that number, it's actually over 30% that they've been cooking the books. You know, and it is the old adage of you lie to me once, shame on you. You lie to me twice, shame on me. People need to realize if they're willing to cook the books over here, they're willing to cook the books in other spots as well. So you have called on District Attorney George Brockler to do what?
To bring criminal charges, or at least to investigate this matter, with the intent of, as I, way I put it, the intent of, because I did want to be aggressive with this, the intent of bringing criminal charges to the executive director of the Colorado Health Department, the CDPHE, Colorado Health. I forgot what the P stands for, but anyway, Health and Environment.
Public Health. Public Health.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Colorado. Yes, health, public health and environment, because that is the office that that does impose these, is imposing these numbers and inserting itself into the world of counting the deaths and so on. So, and I didn't do that lightly. I first reached out to her. I serve on the health and insurance committee in the State House. So it's not like I haven't seen her before, as she's appeared before our committee multiple times. So when I first received the letter from the nursing home and from our constituents and all, and I began investigating this and thinking this all through. And so I called her office. I called the legislative liaison for her office and got crickets in return. I also called, by the way, I emailed the Arapahoe County Coroner to ask her to respond. Never got anything back from her either, which surprises me. But regardless, after getting just, you know, the what they call it, the Heisman on this one, then I thought, well, let me go look into the statute, because, you know, I spend a lot of time in Title 25, which is what gives CDPHE their whole purpose and budget and all that, but it also gives them all the guardrails that they have to live within. So I looked first at who determines cause of death, and it is the attending physician, or it's the funeral home, or it is the coroner in some cases, but it's never the state health department. And state health department has not been determining cause of death. They've simply been recording what the other roles have been reporting to them. Just for the past couple of months, they've decided to insert themselves and start flipping the cause of death that was recorded by doctors and so on, and coroners. And so I thought, that just can't be legal. And sure enough, in Title 25, it does say that it is a crime to falsely state information on a death certificate. So I took that to George Brockler and asked a district attorney. So fortunately, is he not only covers the Douglas County where I live, but also Arapahoe County where the nursing home is. And so I called on George to investigate, and he is doing just that.
Okay, well, Mark Baisley, Colorado Representative Mark Baisley, thank you. This is not a partisan issue, and I've talked to people about it, and the cause of death on death certificates is something that is to be sacred. And what you just mentioned, and again, I said that I've got a copy of this letter as well, and I also checked out the authenticity of it because we want to make sure that we're telling, you know, getting the truth on these issues. And this is very, very concerning of what's going on. I thank you so much. This is not a Democrat versus Republican issue. This is something that we have to be honest with everyday citizens about what's going on. So, Representative Mark Baisley, let's stay in touch. We'll get you on again. Thank you for stepping forward and bringing truth to this matter. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Kim. We just need to emphasize, let's cheer people on and get the state moving again instead of finding excuses to keep it shut down. So thank you for your coverage of this important matter. I appreciate your friendship. Oh,
most definitely. Okay. Colorado Representative Mark Baisley, thank you so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Steve Ryder. His wife has been in the hospital for an extended period of time. And this is one of those stories that we don't realize is that people are in these hospitals alone. And so we'll want to chat with him about that. Before we do that, though, you know, it's been such a tough time for our restaurants and our bars and our taverns. And Hooters Restaurants is a valued partner of mine, and they are doing a curbside to-go orders. Go to order.hooters.com and treat yourself to some great wings tonight. Now, Wednesdays are Wings Day, and you can buy 20 wings and get 10 for free. They have lunch specials available every day, and kids eat free if you have if you purchase an adult entree. So go to order.hooters.com and be sure and just let them cook tonight. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Steve Ryder.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
A recent study finds that COVID-19 economic disruption could force half of small businesses to close within 6 months. Local small business owner Jen Hewlin, Water's Edge Winery, who pledged her home for the loan to start her business, chose to fully open her business last week. As a reasonable individual, she had agreed to a pause in her business until we could better understand COVID-19. The curve has been flattened. There are enough respirators. Effective treatments are available. But the bureaucrats at Tri-County Health said no and shut her down. Jen is fighting for her economic life. Help her with legal costs and operating expenses. Go to KimMunson.com for the link to help Jen through her crowdfunding campaign.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And podcast of the shows are at the website, our op-eds, a lot of important information, our new podcast, Sounding Off with Kim Munson. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. On the line with me is Steve Ryder, and he has an excellent op-ed that will be on our website later today that you'll want to check it out. His wife has been in the hospital for over 17 days, and he cannot see her. This is something that I don't think people understand that has happened under this COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, and it is absolutely heartbreaking. So, Steve Ryder, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for talking about this.
So, tell us what is going on with your family, with your wife.
Yeah, so right when this whole thing happened, when the shutdowns really started to happen, she started to not feel well. And so she got tested very quickly. Took a while for the results to come, and she came back negative for COVID. And because she exhibited all the symptoms, they were watching her as closely as they could. My wife has had health issues most of our entire marriage. She has lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, so 2 autoimmune issues. And then 5.5 years ago, was diagnosed with pulmonary hypertension that nearly killed her. And so anyway, she has a Hickman line going into her chest, that's pumping in meds to keep those pressures between the heart and lungs down. And so because of the autoimmune stuff, she's at high risk for, for COVID, as well as just general infections from having the Hickman line in. And so when that negative came back, the doctors treated what they assumed was an infection. They never really tested her. They never tried anything. And it was virtual visits for the next, I'd say, about 6 weeks. And she was up and down, where some days she was great, some days she was just in bed all day. And finally, I got to the point where on April 29th, we woke up at 4 in the morning, and she was just vomiting uncontrollably, wasn't able to keep any fluids down. And within a couple hours, we decided that she needed to go to the hospital.
So you took her to the hospital. Which hospital did you go to initially?
We went to Memorial Central, and with very quickly, her main pulmonary doctor, who is at the Anschutz campus in Aurora, the UC University of Colorado, Denver Hospital in Aurora, he got into the office and he was like, I want her here, which honestly was fine with me because of her complex health history. We've always felt comfortable with the doctors up there, and the doctors here are often, they just don't understand the complexity of my wife's case. And so I was 100% on board. I'm like, yeah, heck yeah, go see Dr. Ball and be up there. And so as she was getting ready to go up there, I was preparing the house and getting ready to have someone come over and watch the dogs, and the boys and I were going to go get a hotel room up in Denver, that we were kind of close by. And she called and said, there's no visitors. Okay, all right. When's that going to open up? No idea. And today is the 20th day that she has been up there in at the Anschutz campus, with unable to have any family or friend come and visit.
Now, Steve, I know that they're really trying to tighten things up because of the whole COVID-19 thing. However, this seems a bit draconian. And in healing, I think there's something about having loved ones by your side. And so this is 20 days. This is probably getting a little frustrating for you, because are you getting any answers, or, you know, what's happening with that?
Yeah, I have tried every single channel that I can possibly think of in order to try and get in there. I call it a patient advocates line, and it took a full, I'd say about a week and a half for them to return my call. And I think the only reason that they actually returned my call was because a state senator buddy of mine, Owen Hill, was hounding them. And the person that called back was kind of flippant and dismissive, and claimed to have got COVID and claimed to be OCD. And I didn't, the attitude in which he called me, I didn't believe a single thing that he had said. So I tried the political route. My local congressman, Doug Lamborn, his office had tried for a good week and a half to try and get me in. And finally, last Sunday, he called me up and was like, Steve, I'm sorry, they're even stonewalling me in my office. I've tried the media route. I've done news reports and interviews and that sort of thing. And I even have got the phone number for the doctor who is the head of infectious disease for the Anschutz campus. And from what I'm told, is the person that actually makes the call. She's worked with my wife a couple times, and so I texted her and said, please let me in. You know that there are studies that show that loneliness is as dangerous as smoking 15 cigarettes per day. That was a study that made the news like a year or two ago. And she basically said, no, I can't make an exception. She said, I admire your tenacity and the way you stand up for your wife, but no, I can't make an exception. And so there honestly came were days very early on where I'd never seen my wife that weak. And she was in the hospital with congestive heart failure and an enlarged heart. And on Mother's Day, I saw a depression settle in on her that I had never seen before in my life. And there were days where I really wondered at when I hung up that FaceTime call if that was the last time I was going to talk to my wife. And she took a turn for the worse. Last weekend, she had some bleeding in one of her lungs that they were having trouble stopping, and was moved to ICU. And I got calls at 2 and 4, 5:30 in the morning from the doctor, the overnight doctor, kind of updating me. And this has been the most stressful event of my entire life. And 5.5 years ago, my wife was in with congestive heart failure, and
Steve Ryder, compared to this. This is an important story that we need to be bringing forward. And there are people all over this country who have loved ones in hospitals and in nursing homes that they are not able to see. And this goes back to what we just were talking about in the first segment with Colorado Representative Mark Baisley. They have been cooking the books. And so they're cooking the books on this. And then that narrative is preventing you from being with your wife, to hold her hand, to be there, to give her encouragement. And this is 20 days. This is not okay. This is not the way it's supposed to happen in America. So let's stay in touch on this. We're going to have your important op-ed on our website this evening. And we pray for you and your family, and we will go to work to see what we can do to help you on this. Steve Ryder, thank you so much.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks for taking this message.
We will. We'll continue with this message, because nobody should be in these hospitals alone without their loved ones. And what you said regarding the patient advocate, it took over a week for them to get back with you, and they were flippant. You know, everybody needs to have an advocate for them in a hospital and in a nursing home. And this is absolutely tragic. So, Steve Ryder, we'll stay in touch.
Thank you.
Okay. And Jason McBride, are you back from vacation?
I'm back from vacation.
Now, we missed you, but John Buckingham, your colleague over at Presidential Wealth Management, did a great job, but it's great to have you back. So what did you do? Did you go any place during this COVID-19?
No. I just wanted to give John a week to be on the show. You know, your brain starts to run a little bit dry, and I thought maybe I was boring your listeners. So I was still here at work and everything. I just took a week off away from the show.
Okay, well, John did a great job, and you have a lot of excellent colleagues over there at Presidential Wealth Management. So now that you're back on the air, what's on your mind this morning, Jason McBride?
Well, the market's given us quite a welcome. The futures on the Dow this morning are up over 700 points. Looks like the futures on oil are up over 2 points, so we're back in the 30s there. Very, very strong. Sounds like hopes of a vaccine are getting stronger. And I think it's all these reopenings happening across the country where the market, you know, is looking 6 to 9 months down the road, Kim, and realizing that there's really nothing the matter with our economy outside of these artificial shutdowns, and the market is looking ahead. Now, technically, the Dow and the S&P have been stuck kind of in a sideways pattern going back all the way to April 9th. The NASDAQ has broken out of that, so it's leading the pack again. And honestly, that's kind of what you want to see. You want to see the leading stocks, the heavier growth type stocks, leading the market. So the fact that the Dow and the S&P are lagging behind the NASDAQ by a little bit is not really a huge concern for me.
Okay. Well, it's nice to have some great news here on a Monday morning.
Yes.
And I would highly recommend, you mentioned that sometimes with the way the market's been, that the percentages may have gotten out of whack on different people's portfolios. And
yes,
so it would be a good time to take a portfolio check and reach out to you and John Buckingham and your colleagues over at Presidential Wealth Management.
Yeah, I think it's good to take a look at that. You know, bond prices have gotten pretty high. They've come down a little bit, but at some point, you know, if you're not getting much of a percentage return there, and stocks seem to be on the mend, yes, you probably are out of whack where your stock percentages have gotten down. Maybe you're a bit heavy in fixed income right now, and then your risk tolerance may have changed through this, and it may not have. So that's one of the things maybe to rediscuss realistically. How did this make you feel? Could you withstand this kind of volatility? Sometimes this is a teaching experience.
You know, most definitely. I think that people think that they have a certain risk tolerance, and then they get through these things, they're like, wait a minute, maybe it's a little different. So that is why it is good to sit down and have a conversation with you and your other professionals over there at Presidential. So that phone number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Great to have you back, Jason. Love talking with John, though. So it's wonderful, though, to have you back.
Sounds great. Well, I missed you guys too, and I'm glad to be back.
Okay. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Lyle Laverty, and he is the former assistant secretary of the Interior for Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. And it was 24 years ago, I think, today, that this Buffalo Creek fire started. It was a devastating wildfire. And wildfires are part of the Colorado landscape, but yet we can do things to mitigate these. The cost, both human cost as well as the financial cost, is so significant. And Lyle has written a very important op-ed that's at my website, kimmunson.com, The Cost of Colorado Wildfires. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Lyle Laverty.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. All the podcasts of the shows are there, as well as our op-eds, our new sounding off with Kim Munson podcasts, all kinds of great information, and sign up for our weekly newsletter. On the line with me is Lyle Laverty, and he is the former Assistant Secretary of the Interior for Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. And he has a very important op-ed that is at kimmunson.com. It was on May 18th, 1996, nearly a quarter of a century ago, when this unattended campfire was driven by high winds. It ripped through 11 miles of the Pike National Forest in Buffalo Creek. Lyle Laverty, it seems like yesterday. I can't believe it was 24 years ago. But welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. Yeah, it's amazing how quickly time seems to fly by, to think that it was almost a quarter of a century when when Buffalo Creek and was seemed to be the start of the wildfire era in Colorado.
Well, and Lyle, we have wildfires in Colorado. I mean, you drive up over Vail Pass and there had been a fire up there. And so we've had wildfires, you know, throughout time here. But and that's kind of a natural thing because fires can be started by lightning and all. But something has happened regarding our forests. They're not healthy like they used to be. And so that played into this particular fire because it was really hot. The fires, it jumped from crown to crown. And so what was different about the Buffalo Creek fire?
I think there's certainly a number of combinations that came together for Buffalo Creek. One was certainly the temperature and the climate. You know, then that extremely dry period, and then you had that warm, hot temperature and that high wind. Then you got the ignition. But the other part is the structure of the stands of timber that we have here in Colorado. And you're absolutely right. You know, fire has played a historic role in the landscape of Colorado and really the interior west. But what's happened over a century, if you will, is all of a sudden, because we've done such a great job of suppressing fire, that the structures of the stands have changed. The stands are much more dense, and so when you get an ignition, then it jumps, like we see on the evening news, it goes from the ground up to a crown to crown. You know, historically, these fires that we used to have in Colorado would be low-intensity fires. They creep around and, you know, burn things, and some places there'd be little hot spots, and you'd find a new stand that would come back in. And the example, when you come over through the tunnel and drop down into Silverthorne, you know, that's a perfect example of where fire has played a natural role in that landscape, and you can see the different patterns of age classes that are in that area. And, you know, it's just an example of how fire has played that natural role. But because we have this unnatural condition now we get these large, intense, catastrophic fires.
Well, and you mentioned unnatural condition. Is that because we are building more and more homes right into the forest? And you know, it's a lovely thing to have a home in the forest. I mean, there's something amazing about that. But then, you know, as you mentioned, suppression of fires. I mean, is all that playing into that, Lyle Laverty?
Kimmy, it's all factors in, yes. And, you know, the growth of what they call the wildland-urban interface, where people are living in that that connection place that takes place between the natural wild land and where people live, is just growing exponentially here in Colorado. And, you know, and it's because the mountains are a nice place to live. So when you factor, you have that complex of residents and structures with that unnatural fuel loading, it's almost a perfect combination for, you know, for the catastrophic events to take place. Waldo Canyon was a great example. You know, if you remember how that fire came from the west and came down into Colorado Springs, and in those areas that we think are residential areas, all of a sudden it's because they're right on that border of those fuel types that come from the wildland down into the community. So, Black Forest also in 2013, you know, where people have lived in those wildlands, kind of wildland urban interface locations, it just sets it up for those to happen. Now, there's things that we can do, and that's really the important part, is that, you know, we can actively manage those fuel loadings to make a change to reduce the effects of fire. We're never going to eliminate fire, but we can reduce the effects of fire, and that's really one of the things that we've been talking about for decades now, is how can we aggressively become... You know, wildfire is not a... The key is, how do we manage the fuels? And if we can manage the fuels through active forest management, we can manage fire.
Okay, and that's a really important thing, I think, for people to realize, because I don't think that people are going to want to not live near the forest. That's something that you know, people really want to do here in Colorado. But we need to start to, as you mentioned, manage these fuel loadings. There's things that we actively can do to really help that. So I tell you what, Lyle, let's go to break. And when we come back, let's talk about solutions to this, because it is a wonderful thing to live near the forest here in Colorado. So let's go to break. We'll be right back. I'm talking with Lyle Laverty, and he is the former Assistant Secretary of the Interior for Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Did you know Hooters wings can fly? That's right. Your favorite wings can be picked up for to-go and can even be delivered right to your doorstep. Take advantage of Hooters' delicious lunch specials, like our seaworthy Baja fish tacos, mouthwatering Western burger, or our new roasted wings. Lunch specials are available to go Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Curbside service available. Place your order online at order.hooters.com. Get your wings to fly only at Hooters.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. All of our show recaps are there with the podcasts. And go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. We'd appreciate that. I've got on the line with me Lyle Laverty. He's written an important piece that is on the website, The Cost of Colorado Wildfires. And we're getting into wildfire season. It was 4 years ago, almost a quarter of a century ago, that the Buffalo Creek fire started, and it was pretty devastating. It was a really hot fire, and then shortly thereafter, we had intense rains. There was a thunderstorm, which poured about 3 inches of rain onto the Buffalo Creek fire burn scar, and then all of a sudden, we had all kinds of black water and sediment that poured into the South Platte River and the Strontia Springs Reservoir. So everything's so interconnected, Lyle Laverty. Let's continue with this conversation. You mentioned something about our fuel loadings. Now, that sounds like a kind of scientific talk for what's going on with our forest, but let's talk a bit about these fuel loadings that are important to understand as we're thinking about wildfire mitigation.
Well, Kim, you know, really what it is, it's the forest material is what exists on the landscape is what we call fuel loadings. I was thinking as you were taking the break, our timber stands probably centuries ago, at least here in the Front Range, may have had anywhere from 30 to 50 to maybe 60 trees per acre. In many cases now we have stands with the density of trees that run up to 12, 13, 1,400 trees per acre, even more. And it's because of that growth that's taken place, the natural growth that's taken place on these timber stands, but because we've done such a great job of keeping fire out of these landscapes that these stand conditions now have grown into that dense condition. And so if you get an ignition, then you do in fact see those evening news types pictures where you've got fires dancing from crown to crown. So the key, the solution is to be able to manage these landscapes and reduce that fuel loading and reduce the density of the trees. Now, we're not talking clear cutting. We don't, that really is not the answer that we're looking for, but it's to reduce that density so you get some of these, what I want to call park-like stands that people can see when you drive through, and you can see that it's been thinned and there's fewer stems to the acre out there. So there's things that we can do to reduce those costs. You know, you pointed out the Strachia Springs, and in the results of that Buffalo Creek fire, we ended up with that sediment and debris, running down into Strachia Springs. And yeah, I think it probably a conservative figure would be probably about $100 million that Denver Water and the Denver Water consumers have paid to remove sediment and reduce the impacts of what's happened from that flooding that takes place once all that landscape has been stripped. So big cost, but there's lots of things that are very easy to do.
Okay, so but you mentioned also the density, that it's gotten much denser over the last 100 years, or what's different between the time when the buffalo roamed the plains to now? What happened? What's different?
Well, since we've done such a good job of suppressing fire, the natural regeneration that comes back in those stands has been allowed to grow and has not been thinned naturally like the fires used to do, centuries ago. So that's one of the big factors. And we know that by actively managing these landscapes, we can, in fact, reduce the impact of fire. We're never going to eliminate fire, and I think that's an important message for people to remember. We live in a fire-adapted environment here in the Front Range in Colorado, and the interior west, for that matter. So it's an important dimension to understand that's always going to be here. But we don't have to accept what some folks have termed this new normal, that this is what it's going to be. I'm a real believer, I'm a passionate believer, that we don't have to accept that this is a new normal. We can, in fact, and we know that we can actively manage these landscapes to reduce the effects of fire. And, as I pointed out in that little op-ed that you mentioned, it really is a safety issue. It's a big environmental issue. And we know that we can create these landscapes and settings that are still attractive for people to live in, to play in, and to enjoy the benefits that come from a healthy forest. The water that we have in our tap water, every time you turn it on, that basically comes from that forest landscape. So keeping those landscapes healthy is really the key, and we can do that through active management.
So you mentioned the word environmental, which that brings up the question of environmentalist. And there's, been kind of this radical activist, hands off of everything. We want everything to, we can't have man come in and do anything creative or innovative. And there's a variety of different industries there where we see that happening. What's your comments about the radical activist environmentalist? How have they played into this whole issue of wildfires?
Well, some of the things that have happened, over the course of probably the last quarter of a century, even probably even a little bit longer than that, 30, 40 years, we've had, and we talked about this before with equal access to justice. We find that the agencies, the Forest Service, the BLM, agencies that are actively managing landscapes, they get sued for project proposals, and the costs just go up exponentially in terms of what it costs them, and then the delays in actually getting projects done on the ground. So that has become the effect of slowing down the pace and scale in which we need to be actively managing these landscapes. Here in Colorado, I think I mentioned before, we probably have between 5 and 6 million acres of dead trees from mountain spine, a pine beetle, a spruce pine beetle, and these are landscapes that are at great risk of you know, having serious impacts on fire once if we get an ignition. So, you know, the need to be able to actively manage in these landscapes is so important for Colorado and the interior west.
Well, and so there's the reasons, really, there's a number of reasons. Is first of all is to manage the intensity of these fires. So if we can lower the intensity, that's really a good thing. Secondly, in your op-ed, you talk about the cost. And I think you said that it's up to about $4.5 billion, I think is what you said. I'm trying to look at this here. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay, $4.5 million.
Yeah.
In 2019.
2019, the suppression. Now, this is a national suppression cost. So,
okay.
You know, that $4.5 billion. You know, so that, you know, that's a lot of resources that come from agencies like the Forest Service and the BLM and the Park Service that go to suppression costs, and we could be doing other things with that money if we didn't have to spend that so much on suppression. So, you know, it's kind of like that old advertisement used to say, pay me now or pay me later. You know, I think the investment that we can make in reducing the fuel loading is much less than what we're spending on suppression costs per acre. So if we can begin to turn that curve on reducing the suppression costs, we can begin to utilize some of those limited resources to do the active management and take care of trails and campgrounds and those kinds of things that right now, because all that money goes to suppression costs, we don't have the opportunity to make those investments. So there's so much that can be done in terms of realigning resources if we don't have to spend so much on suppression. So, but the reality is that we have these fuel conditions now that force us into those kinds of decisions. So active management is the key to good fire management.
Okay, and so there's really two things that I see going on here. Radical activists have, over the last 20, 30 years, they've said, hands off the forest. And that has moved us into this condition now where we have much denser forests, so the fires are hotter when they because they're going to happen. And I remember just a few years ago, those fires out in California, radical activists are always talking about clean air. Well, those forest fires out in California really affected the air out there so much so that people were having to wear masks out there. We were even seeing it affect the air here. So you've got that. We're seeing the effects of not letting man use their creativity and innovation to do something about forest management. Or you're talking about that there are, you know, there are solutions. So we've got a couple of minutes, Lyle Laverty. What are the solutions?
Well, Kim, it comes down to two terms. I call it patience scale. We need to increase the pace at which we're actively treating these landscapes that need to be treated to reduce that fuel loading, and we have to increase the scale. We can't just do 100 acres or 1,000 acres, and we've got to be doing multiple thousands of acres each year if we're going to keep Colorado safe and we're going to keep our landscapes healthy. You know, the point that we made, I think, in our last conversation is that these landscapes provide the setting and the foundation for the economic industry, the travel tourism industry here in Colorado, and, you know, they provide these incredible benefits that come. So we've got to be able to do both. We have to increase the pace and we have to increase the scale. And, you know, to keep these landscapes healthy and, you know, keep our waters clean. And when you think about the environments that, and the benefits that come for habitat, it's just all these pieces come together for us. So pace and scale are really the key things.
Okay, and we have just about 30 seconds left. Lyle, what can an everyday person, is there anything they can do about it?
Well, I think we need to let our representatives know that how important active forest management is of these landscapes in Colorado, and encourage them to say, yes, we need to be doing these kinds of things.
Okay, so we can do things. We can manage these forests. We can help reduce the intensity of these fires. Lyle Laverty, thank you so much. I'd encourage people to go to my website and check out your very important op-ed.
Thanks, Kim.
Okay. The show goes very, very quickly. Our quote for today is from Eli Wiesel. He said, "We must always take signs. Neutrality helps the oppressor, never the victim. Silence encourages the tormentor, never the tormented." So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Young, like a new moon.